Dear friends, grace, mercy, and peace from God be yours on this day as we gather to remember Jesus' ascension. And our text is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, where it reads, God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. We had relatives at our house this weekend. My wife's sister was there and her husband, and they've got this little boy, 4 years old, and his name is Pierce James, you know, James. And so my namesake, I just love to see him come. And, you know, a little four-year-old in the house adds a lot of excitement. And then Sunday comes, and I'm at church, and they come to the early service, and they say, well, goodbye. You know, I've still got things to do here, but those goodbyes are always hard, aren't they? Oh, about 20-some years ago, I finished college, and I said goodbye to a young lady there. And I didn't know that I was as attached by the heartstrings to this young lady as I was, because as she drove off with her parents, she had another year of college to do, I found myself in tears. So later that summer, I had to go and ask this young lady to marry me. And so that's who I married, sitting out here tonight. Goodbyes often come too fast, don't they? And they're hard to face. We celebrate a farewell today, the farewell of Christ from earth, Christ's departure for heaven. And I'm sure that was a difficult thing for those who saw it that day. He was with us 33 years, and I'm sure every one of the disciples there wanted him to stay. I think that we would want Christ to remain with us if he were here in the flesh today. In fact, when would we want to say goodbye to God in human flesh, in our form? When would it be a good time to say goodbye to God? But he chose that time to ascend to the heavenly throne that was prepared for him. And I got to thinking this week, what would it be like if Jesus had stayed here, if he hadn't ascended? How would Christianity be different? How would the world be different? And I imagine that, you know, everybody would want to visit him, whether they believed in him and not as God, but most everyone would want to see the celebrity who did miracles, who walked on water, who preached, and who people said was God in human form. Everybody would want to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land or wherever he lived. But, you know, seeing what some sites in Jerusalem are like now with all the traditions built around them and great churches built around, and I'm sure lots of money-making and profiteering going on, wouldn't be too long until that was surrounding Jesus himself. Jesus as dignitary instead of Jesus the Savior. The Pope visited us last couple of weeks in America, and everybody wanted to see, wanted to hear. And yet he's just the pastor of Rome. Imagine if God himself were still with us after all of these years, what that would be like, and what that would do to Jesus' real ministry, to preach and teach the Word of God, to be the Word of God made flesh. I suppose, just as it was then, some would want to make him the leader, perhaps the leader of the world. Imagine a campaign. You know, Jesus for president of the world. What kind of campaign that would be like? What party would claim him for their goals? Can you imagine now? Oh Lord, heal this person. Heal this nation. Heal all of these people before you. Fix our economy. Win our war for us. The demands that would be put on Jesus were he with us. You know, in his departure, they asked him about that. In the first chapter of Acts, it's recorded. They said to Jesus, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the glory to Israel? Are you going to make us like we were under King David and Solomon, powerful nation, making us wealthy and prestigious country again?" I think Jesus pretty much said, "No, it's better this way. It's better that I leave now." Jesus in heaven, as he said, he goes to send the Holy Spirit to us. We think, well, what good's the Holy Spirit? We would rather have Jesus in the flesh. But the Lord said the night before he was crucified, "Unless I go, the Holy Spirit cannot come to you, the Spirit of truth, and he will lead you in all that is true and right." Jesus' mission was accomplished. His mission, as you know, was to be the once and for all sacrifice offered for sin, to bring man to God, not for judgment, but for reconciliation, to make man and God together, to make man acceptable to God, to declare him just and right and righteous, so that man could live in the presence of an almighty and absolutely holy God. That was Jesus' mission. And that is what he's accomplished. As his last words from the cross, when he shouted out, "It is finished." And it was. Our passage from Ephesians says that God worked in mighty power in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and then seated him at his own right hand, at the place of honor, the place of absolute power. Before Jesus ascended to heaven in the last chapter of Matthew, he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has now been given to me." And he ascended to take the place of that authority. He is seated at the right hand of God, far above all earthly rule and authority. No one now can use Jesus for earthly purposes, for worldly purposes, to make money, to coerce people to follow their rules. No one can capture the Lord and hold him hostage. That happened once. It will not happen again. Now, they can only capture us by twisting and distorting that word of God in some way to take the purpose of Jesus away from us, maybe to turn us back to trying to please God through our own works and our own good behavior or following rules that are made up by man. But that is only through a distortion of the words of Christ left with us. No, we do not follow such distortions. We are his church. Jesus is still our head. Our greatest treasure that we have in this world, each one of us, is that treasure of God's word in the Old and New Testaments revealed to us. That's why we gather here in churches, to hear that word, to hear it preached and explained to us, to enthrone him in your life as his word is heard and listened to and followed. Part of my job as your pastor is to go out and see people who can't come to church because they're ill or perhaps too old. And I see a lot of people in nursing homes, people whose freedom has been taken away by illness or infirmity, but they're still free. They can't get up and walk to church like you do. They can't walk up to the altar tonight. They can't get out of bed, most of them. Some of them can't talk. But when I come and see them with that mission to bring that word of Christ that we hear in the church here, to bring that same word to them, Jesus' word, they come alive because they know that precious word of God has come again. And they know that with that word comes Jesus. He comes to return to see them, even though they can't come see him. And he comes hidden to them, hidden in a reading from the Bible, hidden in an old hymn or song, and hidden in that taste of bread and wine that I bring to their lips. But Jesus has come. Jesus is with them. And he's with us here tonight. You have that same treasure, that word of God, that gift of bread and wine brought to your lips, the heavenly gift sent to you. And that's what we are here to celebrate tonight. Seems a little strange to come to church on a Thursday night, doesn't it? And yet, we're here because this is an important event in the life of Jesus. Just as we come on the night of his birth and on the morning of his resurrection, so we have gathered at the moment of his departure. A partial departure. For as he left, he said, "I am leaving, but remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." He is here, hidden among us in his word and sacraments. We still long for Jesus to be with us, but I hope you can see that for now, it's better this way. It's better this way until he comes again with all that power, with all that authority, and with all that might that is his. It'll all be revealed. And as he departed up into the sky, a metaphor, you might say, for departure to heaven, up is away from earth, so also he will return in the sky, and all will see him on that day. Let us prepare. Let's get ready for that day. As we gather, as he feeds and cares for us, his flock, and as we live as his sheep, the people of his pasture, following in his word, confessing our sins, receiving that forgiveness, and bringing that same message to those around us who are in desperate need. Let us prepare as we say goodbye for his imminent return. And may the peace that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts in this faith to life everlasting. Amen.